separate the two groups? Clean and unclean, holy and unholy. Is there a difference? Anybody want to volunteer? A yes or no answer would suffice. Yes, there is a difference. Everybody seems to be saying yes. Any no here? Okay. If the answer is yes, then our next question comes very quickly. What is the difference? We just said, by your silent yes, you just agree. Silence for us means consent. You just said, through your silence, that there is a difference between holy and unholy and clean and unclean. This difference. If we said that, then we should know what is the difference.
Competition.
Competition?
And everyone thinks special.
Uh-huh. Competition. Interesting. Any other suggestions? Okay. Just to get you thinking. Now, in the Bible, it does make that difference. The answer for yes is correct. Clean and unclean have to do with all things physical and carnal. Clean and unclean. For example, in the very next chapter in Leviticus, they talk about clean and unclean anymore. Correct. Now, when you look at the definition of clean and unclean, some of it looks physically clean and physically unclean. And indeed, the unclean animals are actually scavengers. They eat rubbish. The clean animals, they have two stomachs. And they eat cleaner food. And all the modern diseases of the clean animals is due to man. The mad cow disease, they have traced it to the fact that when cows eat cows, then they get mad. So you eat the mad cow, you get mad. And the mad cow disease was accentuated by human beings because humans make the cow food out of dead animals. Feed it to the cows when cows were meant to eat grass. So the cows become unhealthy not because they know better, because they trusted human beings. And ate what is fed. And there are clean animals and unclean animals in the Bible. All the unclean animals, God told the Jews not to eat them because by virtue they are also scavengers. They eat the dirt of the earth and they have a greater toxic content. Then he turned that physical one into a ceremonial law. So there is an aspect in which clean and unclean refer to the physical realm. There's an aspect in which clean and unclean refer to the ceremonial laws. Because in the Bible, in the book of Acts, the New Testament seems to have got rid of some of the ceremonial laws. So our definition of clean and unclean needs a bit of updating too. In the book of Acts chapter 10, just to give some references. Acts chapter 10. Peter had this vision, and he was a Jew, mind you, who doesn't touch any unclean animals. And all his life, he never ate any unclean animals. And in this vision that he had, in Acts chapter 10, verse 11 to 14, he saw the heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, birds of the air. A voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." That means I have never eaten anything ceremonially unclean or that is actually physically among the unclean animals. And God says here, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. He's referring to Gentiles now, symbolically. He said the Gentiles will eat all the unclean animals. And themselves, in the Jewish dispensation, were regarded as unclean. God has now cleansed through the New Testament gospel. That is, we all know, through the blood of the Lamb. But there's a slow change coming into the New Testament. And turn over with me to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. And chapter 7. And we realize that the definition of clean and unclean goes beyond food. In 1 Corinthians 7, he talks about believers and unbelievers. And he talks about sanctification of holiness again. In 1 Corinthians 7 verse 14. It says, "For the unbelieving husband is sanctified or made holy by the wife. And the unbelieving wife is sanctified or made holy by the husband. Otherwise, your children would be," and here's the word, "unclean. But now, they are holy." Now, he uses the word unclean, not in a animal way or in a physical way. He's not talking about physical cleanliness here. He's talking about some dimension of spiritual separation. You're of the world or you're of God. You're of the world, you're unclean. You're of God, you're clean. So there is a certain dimension of separation. Clean and unclean. What does it mean? See, the reason I bring this topic is just to push your concept of holiness further. If holiness and unholiness is different from clean and unclean, what is the difference? That was our question. So we are looking at clean and unclean. What does it actually mean? See, when you ask someone, "Are you holy?" and "What do you mean by holiness?" you know what? Sometimes they say, "I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't sin, I don't commit adultery, I don't tell lies, I don't do all." And they say, "Oh, I've done all these things, therefore, I am holy." If you don't do all those things, you aren't holy yet. You're just clean. Everything that has to do with physical sin and physical relationships and anything to do with sin has to do with cleanliness or uncleanliness. It's a totally different thing. Let me try to bring a different concept again. Let's say one of your little children who's having a very active day, and it's a raining day, and there's mud all over the place. Your house is clean and nice, physically, and beautiful too. You decorate it nicely. Your child runs out and plays in the mud and plays in the rain. Comes back, and you say, "Stop right there." You won't let the child in. Get straight to the bathroom. So what do? You clean your child. You take away all the dirty clothes. Make sure your child has a good scrubbing. And then wrap in a towel, bring your child up. Looks like you've done that before. And you bring the child up. Now what has happened? The child is clean. But not dressed yet. And then you can put on clothing for your child. You can take one of the old scrubby clothing. But if your child is about to go out to meet granddad or to go on to meet someone, what do? You put nice clothes on your child. Now, we all have it in all our cupboards and wardrobe. You have two types of clothing. One you call the grubby clothes that you wear around the house. Once in a while, you wear it to our 24-hour prayer meeting. And then you have your nice clothes. Correct. You have two sets of clothing in your wardrobe. One, your grubby ones that you use for your rough wear, when you do the things, you know, paint the house, you put on your grubby clothing. You're not going to put on suit and tie and then go painting. Right? Have you ever seen any painter climbing one of the scaffolding and you look at, wow, he dressed like a businessman in his Armani suit? No, they wear those work clothes. Then if they have a dinner at night, they go home, they change and they dress for the dinner. They look different. So in all our wardrobe, we have two sets of clothing. One set is for practical use. The other set is to accentuate your niceness. If I can call it this way, your beauty. To make you look better. So, you have cleansed the child, you put clothing on the child, but making a child beautiful is it. So, I'm trying to differentiate between here. Being holy means being beautiful. The two are equal. Being clean and unclean may not mean being beautiful. It is the beginning of being beautiful. Because the first step is to be cleansed. And so I will put it this way. This is how we differentiate it. Clean and unclean is a subset of holy and unholy. Which means that if you're holy, it automatically means you're also cleansed. Because how can you clothe someone beautifully if there is mud all over them? It will make the most beautiful clothing dirty. So being clean is the first step to being holy, but not yet into beauty. Just the first step. And being beautiful or being holy includes being cleansed and all those things. Now let's look at another example in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 6. Here's this man of God. And look at the extent of what cleanliness means in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. It says here, when he saw the Lord, who is of course the most beautiful and glorious being of the whole universe. In Isaiah chapter 6, it says in verse 5. Let's read verse 3 too. He saw the Lord and he saw the cherubim and seraphim crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Everything is full of his glory. In verse 5, he says, "Woe to me, for I am unclean." If your translation translates anything else, it's wrong translation. It's the word unclean here. So I said, woe is me, for I am unclean. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. Same Hebrew word, unclean. So they should be consistent and translated that way. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And verse 7, in the end the seraphim came and took a live coal. And then in verse 7, he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." So now let's differentiate it. Clean and unclean has to do with freedom from sin. Because it includes more than physical. In that dimension, it's not just as you can see, it's not just some physical dirt. Speaking wrong things and all the sin. Notice that when he is cleansed, it was sin and iniquity that was cleansed. That was what is causing the uncleanness. So uncleanliness has to do with sin. Being cleansed has to do with purging and removing of sin and sin nature. And then you're ready to be clothed with holiness, which is another step. Now we begin to see that a lot of human concepts of holiness is not a concept of holiness. It's a concept of clean and unclean. We have fallen short of God's definition because we have fallen short of His glory. But holiness is one step beyond just cleanse. That is why He made the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place. Notice, by that making, He says there's a holy place and a most holy place. There are degrees of holiness. But there's no such thing as degrees of cleanliness or uncleanness. Either you're unclean or cleansed. Sin is sin. Either you're a sinner or you're not a sinner. Either you're cleansed from sin or you're not cleansed from sin. There's no halfway. Now, there are different degrees of sin. But the moment you have sin, it is sin. That makes you a sinner. So there is no such thing as different degrees of free of different degrees of being cleansed. You're either cleansed or you're not cleansed. Even a little bit of dirt means you're unclean. But once you're cleansed, there are different degrees of holiness because there are different degrees of beauty.